Actually, I have a commentary about people that make jokes that are bad. And you know what? Strangely enough, I vote in favor of bad jokes. Now, just give me some perspective time here. You know, if someone is trying to make a joke, right? They're just like trying to make you laugh. They're not out to like hurt you or like, you know, make fun. They're just like being funny, right? And so sometimes it's okay to say a bad joke, right? And not, you don't have to like. Speaking of which, I made up this joke once. See, this is the setup, so you guys don't boo me, right? Okay, no, that's actually kind of a question response joke. Who is the first person ever to use Facebook? John Wayne? Any other guesses? No. Jesus? Well, why do you think that? You're just guessing? Oh, the right. It is actually. Well, do you remember God wrote on King Nebuchadnezzar's wall? See, you guys groaned. You guys were not supposed to groan. I made that up, though. Come on, that deserves something. Thank you. Chris. It's like the mature dads that appreciate. And my lovely wife. All right, so we've been on a bit of a path for the last few months. Since January, we've been talking about royalty and ruling, right? And so that pretty much makes us experts, right? I mean, experts, yeah. We've got two confident experts here. I thought that I could just go through a few of these things, get a bit of a refresher, because I feel that right now we're in a bit of a pivotal time. So I just want to make sure that we got, like, you know, like phase one before we completely move to phase two, if that makes sense. All right, so when Drew and Sarah first introduced us to the idea of royalty and ruling, at least in our topic, one of my favorite lines that they said, and for me sums it mostly up, is, "You are royalty no matter what. A prince just needs to be born," right? So us as Christians, we just need to be born again, and then we were royalty, right? We were right up there. Yeah. And then Ruth and I talked about slavery to sonship. If you remember that. Actually, I think for me, the biggest revelation for slavery and sonship came after we had done the teaching, and then it kind of sunk in a bit, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about. But for me, it was such a difference in my God time. If in previous years, if I was hanging out with God, right, you know, we're up there in, you know, a nice valley overlooking the water, the Mediterranean Sea, you know, I'd have Jesus, and Jesus would always, like, come up and hug me first, right? I'm like, yeah, you know, God loves me, you know? But then after I kind of got, you know, a bigger picture of that, I was like, huh, it's not like I have to, it's because I want to, right? And so, you know, the next time I had my God time, to my surprise, you know, I was the one running up, and I was like, I love you. You know, so I just like, it's like, it's good, you know, we're all kind of like on a process. And actually, for this teaching, I read out a bit of a journal entry that I got, and I'm going to read that again just because I feel it's also pivotal, or at least parts of it. I'll kind of read my favorite part, if that's okay. All right, so this is what God said to me, and it was really for us as a church. "For you have my authority because you carry my spirit, which I have given you. Your spirit is my spirit. Your body is my body. I live in you. Do you realize that your body is my temple? It's where I am. Live according to your worth. You are invaluable. So live invaluably. Know that behind the power of your words echoes the thunder of my voice. Hear my voice echoing your words. Realize my power." Oh, sorry. "The power of your tongue. Realize the power of my thundering voice upon your tongue. Do you believe that I am with you? Do you believe that my words created the heavens and the earth? Then know that I am with you. And as you pray, as you move, as you speak, my kingdom is in your hands. Bring it to life. Let my kingdom be in your every footstep. Let my kingdom echo out in your songs. Let my kingdom rise from the depths of your heart and overflow to the streets of your cities. My kingdom is good. My kingdom is worth showing to all those around you. Show them my love. Show them my power. I love you. I am calling you deeper into that love. I am calling you into understanding. The foundation of all I do is love. When you see that, when you begin to live from that foundation, my kingdom will manifest itself out of every limb. Be gracious with each other. Be gracious with those that hate you. Show them my kingdom. Show them my love. I created Adam out of my love for him. I designed children to be born out of love. You are born from love, and I love you. It is out of love that you'll restore the brokenhearted. It is out of love that you'll work miracles. It is out of love that you live my kingdom. When you know my love, you fully realize my authority. Heaven is the full manifestation of my love. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But your hand becomes my kingdom when your heart understands my love. So that's some pretty good revelation, I thought. And again, this is just a refresher, so I'm going to try to skip through this. But basically, God is saying that we have authority because God is within us, right? We have that authority because he's here. But you really fully understand, and you're actually fully able to realize that authority, to let it manifest from your life when you understand his love, right? Because you know that everything God did was just out of love, out of love. It's not like, you know, I'm going to heal just because you're sick and because I want to show that God's real. I mean, sure, that's a side effect, you know. God is real when healing happens, or sorry, that is shown when healing happens. But it's out of that love, right? All right, so then we learned about excellence. Luke 12:48. The one who does things deserving punishment will be beaten with huge blows. It's kind of the setup. The one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So we've been entrusted with talents. We've been entrusted with our bodies. We've also been entrusted with God's love, right? So we've been entrusted with that. So how much more, you know, is God going to ask us of that? And Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Yeah. And then we kind of went over blessed. Is this cool that we're doing the review? You guys are with me? All right. Then we went over being blessed. Kind of a pivotal scripture on that was Ephesians 1:3-8. And basically that talks about that we are adopted. We are adopted into God's kingdom, into God's family. That we have been made blameless. And that we have all spiritual blessings. Right? How much of the spiritual blessings? Oh! Woo! And then we talked about authority. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then we talked about confidence. Hebrews 13:6. Say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It's a pretty awesome scripture, eh? So, what? Exactly. All right, so I feel like these past few months have been just such a real, like, kingdom foundation in our lives, right? I think that God is, you know, if there were some areas that we hadn't had a complete picture of, God was starting to fill in that picture and starting to complete it, really, and start to stretch us, to grow us, and to full knowledge of who we are as kids in his kingdom, you know? All right, and so now the shift that's happening is the book of Titus, and that's where we are right now, and to be flat out, it's a bit of a butt kicker, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, cool, now you know who you are, now this is what you need to do, you know? All right, so 2 weeks ago we had our pastor, Stephen Long. He came in and talked about Titus 1, and he went over some characteristics that Titus 1 features, and these are basically things that checklist for leaders, right? And so what I thought was neat about this is that the checklist wasn't just about things that you're doing right now, right? It's about what I like to call the wake of what you did as well, right? So, I mean, to explain that, if you have a boat that drives by, right? Picture the boat driving by. You know, you have this wake that follows in the back of it. And then that wake is also in the shape of the boat, and that wake spreads and it kind of continues, right? So, I mean, as we're living our lives, as we're, you know, walking through, perhaps it's our friends, perhaps, you know, it's at school, perhaps it's at work. But there's this feeling of, oh, I know who this person is, right? Or people that will act certain ways because you've affected them, right? And so I find it really interesting that when Paul asked Titus, okay, so you know what, you're going to appoint some leaders in this place, and what you need to do is you need to check basically their wake, right? And so the questions he asked, right, was, is this person well thought of? Now, I mean, that seems a little contradictory towards, like, a lot of Bible teachings that I've seen. Like in Galatians 2, for example, Paul's like, yo, what are you guys doing? Basically, everyone was starting to worry about what their fellow friends were saying, or the fellow Jewish people were saying. And they were actually distancing themselves away from all the Gentiles that they had, you know, been preaching to, you know, and... So God's not saying, you know what, you need to please people, because in that scenario, you know, peer pleasing wasn't exactly lining up with what Jesus did, with what his life was. But what he is saying is that, you know, when you walk about your life, there's basically, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a contagious feeling, you know what I mean? You know, people and their characteristics are contagious, and you kind of catch a drift of that, and you can be affected by that, right? And so to describe that further, it's like, okay, are their children believers, right? Do they respect him? Do they stay out of trouble? And so, I mean, if you want to look at someone's, I guess, wake of living, definitely the children would be well classified as the wake of someone, right? And so, I mean, we don't necessarily have children, but it's basically just to emphasize the point that we have an effect on people around us, and that effect, people will catch on to it. Now, the list goes on to mention things like a leader needs to be not pushy, not short-tempered, not a drunk, not a bully, not money-hungry. He must be welcoming, helpful, wise, reverent, have a good grip on himself, have a good grip on the message, and knowing how to use the truth to stop people in their tracks when they go to oppose it. Now, I'm going to say this quite confidently, that these are realistic goals. You know, I don't think it's like way out there, you know what I mean? And I think that you guys, as a church, like if not, you know, that's what you are, you know, there's just like, just a few things to work on, you know what I mean? When I was a youth pastor for my youth group, of course it was a bit of a smaller setting, but we would constantly encourage the youth that, you know what, you are a leader. You know what, I can hear God's voice, but so can you just as well. You know what I mean? And just really instill that in them. And I was trying to guesstimate, but I think it's about like 60-70% of those youth are actually pastoring people right now, you know? And it's not necessarily because, you know, of anything I did, but I just told them what, you know, what is the reality of their situation, right? And I think that the reality of your situation right now is that you guys could, you know, all be pastors. Perhaps that's not what you're called to, and that's okay. But you're going to be pastoring people around you, whether you like it or not, right? And so I feel that although this first book of Titus is directed towards, you know, pastors and, you know, what, you know, credentials you should have, I think it's an awesome target, right? So, like, you know, is everything in our lives lining up with these things, right? And it's like a call to step up to that, because, you know, the pastoral team knows that you guys have it. You know what I mean? You guys have that potential, and it's really a probability that you're going to pastor people around you because you have that wake, right? It's contagious. Pastor Stephen was here 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, and at the end we had a ministry time. And I guess just to describe the ministry time, we were praying for people that were in leadership right now, people that were rising up to leadership, but also people that, you know, hey, I don't feel that this is where I am right now. And, you know, that's okay. But I also know that God is in the stretching business, right? And I was just thinking about a few things in my life that God has really stretched me in. And I mean, for one, when I was in high school, I could never picture being the front man of a band. It's like, that's for someone else. That's not me, you know? I can do the worship, you know? But I won't be a rock star. But I mean, that's part of what I do now. You know, God kind of like, you know, slowly stepped me in front of that, to that. I even remember the first time I came to North York, even the idea of holding a mic, you know, would like, my knees, you know, trembling here, you know? But then, you know, slowly and surely, God can stretch us, right? So, I mean, like, one time, you know, did an MC talk, and so I was like, all right, that's scary, but you know, I did that. That wasn't so bad. And then an offering talk, and I mean, Ruth is my witness. I'm like, honey, man, I need some prayer. You need to pray me through this. And it was just a simple offering talk, right? Oh, come on, that's simple, right? But then, like, as God slowly started to stretch me, and, you know, we're all still being stretched, and that's okay. You know, I'm still being stretched. But God is slowly bringing me to a place where, hey, I'm more comfortable, and then this is cool, you know? I wasn't stressed out today, you know? It's all right. Yeah. So, kind of taking a few steps back now, God really wants our foundations to be solid, right? And I really feel that this is part of what Titus is about, or at least it's what it's a call to, right? And so, I guess if you have a building, right, or the CN Tower or some large skyscraper, you can't actually have a building that's like, you know, rocking high if the foundation isn't rocking low or rocking solid, right? So I feel that for a lot of people, this is a season of like, you know, the season that just happened was a season of foundational things, right? It's like, okay, who you are, your identity, right? And now I feel that God is actually like going to start to push you guys forward just a bit more. You know, one step at a time. He's not going to completely freak you out. But I feel that he's really calling you to step up to that. Really stretching that foundation out. Now, someone during prayer actually mentioned, you know, the trailer of your life, right? And I mean, if you want to humor me for a second, if you want to just picture what your life, you know, would be if you just, you know, if you're just living it as you are right now, you know what I mean? Like, coming to a theater near you, the future of your life. So yeah, just being funny. But take a second and just like, Picture your life, just on your own. Picture your life on your own, like doing things on your own. Got it, yeah. It's like a fast-forward thing. You're like, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm working, I'm doing stuff. You know, I'm kind of pedaling my own bike pretty hard. I'm like, that's all right. Now, if we take a second and kind of revamp that trailer, all right, and now God is the director, right? I believe that, like, in the creation, you know, of time, when God was like, you know, here's earth, here's heaven, here's people, here's animals, he also created your life. He knew everything that you were going to do, right? And I feel that he has an intention for you guys, right? Now, hear me again. Just take a moment and just picture that life, but not, like, under your own, you know, trouble or within your own, like, striving, right? And picture just, like, God pushing you forward, God kind of creating the path that is meant to be set in front of you, right? So hear me again, if you will, and just picture that. You got it? No? The non-visual people are like, what's this guy talking about? I just need to see the trailer, man. Put the trailer on. Was it a different picture? I guess that's my question. Was it a different picture? So I really feel that God has set that picture, but he wants that to be a reality, right? And I feel that, you know, perhaps maybe it's not pastoring, but I feel that he wants to see you really grow in the fullness of who you are, right? You know, there's no fear there. There's no striving. It's just like, you know what? I'm chilling. And you know what? I feel that God, even in that moment, has shown you pictures of things that you didn't even realize was on your own radar, right? So as you're going about that movie trailer that you just saw, I see you like, oh, cool. I didn't realize that I really wanted to do that. But I feel that God is really opening up your eyes. And I feel that even, you know, as we continue today, as we continue in the next week, that God is really going to start opening up new ideas, new things, new venues that were in your heart, but you never really realized that it was there. New passions, right? I'm really about like passion-based things, and I love doing things. Actually, my motto in life is I'd rather not, you know, work to live or live to work, but live while I work, right? So it's like if I do this, then I'd be doing it for free, right? So I mean that's the kind of job I want, and that's not necessarily always the job that people get. But I feel that God is stirring up things that, you know, you would do for free, but He wants to pay you for it. You know what I mean? Like, what is that thing in your life? And I feel that God is stirring that thing up, right? Stirring that thing up, you know, one thing at a time, one step at a time. And I see, you know, there's even people of you, people here right now that are like, yeah, I could never, you know, stand up to a microphone. But I feel that even I'm testimony to that, right? That God can stretch us from like one thing to another, to another, to another. All right, so we're going to jump into ministry time. And this is another journal entry. I love my journal entries because, you know, I can say things, but God sometimes just says them so right, you know? So if I can get you to stand up. All right, so I'm going to read this over you, but just know that it's really God speaking to you guys. Leadership is you being as I've created you to be. It's being you as I see you. I'm calling you to grow into your true identity, the identity you have placed upon or have placed upon you at the moment, the beginning of creation. My child, my love for you is overflowing. I have placed so much in you. I have called you to be a leader of my sheep, someone who draws near the lost sheep to them. How does a lost sheep get influenced by you? Because he sees your home. Children, hear my voice and obey. I'm calling you to be an example to all those around you. Hold steadfast to the ways I've taught you. Hold steadfast to the good things I've put inside of you. For that light will be the place people are drawn to. We'll see the truth of the darkness. You are my light. You are my kingdom, a light to the world. Begin to open your eyes to the calling I have on you and rise up to that which is yours. I just see God right now. He's kind of like dusting away the ungodly beliefs, the words that you've spoken upon yourself that says, no, I can't, no, I won't, I'm not good enough. He's just like, he's tossing those things away. He's like brushing them off. And I feel that this identity that he's been instilling in you, he's reaffirming that. I just see like you being the beautiful painting that you are. And I just see him putting like a nice lacquer upon that, you know, and shining it up, saying, cool, this is your identity. Now this is yours. No one can take this away from you because it's you. It's who I have created you to be. Father, I pray that you would just keep opening our hearts, even in this moment, opening our hearts to the vision that you have for our lives. That you would, even when we come into moments where we can influence people, where what we say can change someone's life forever, that you would just, your Holy Spirit would just come upon us and that would really lead people to your kingdom, to your heaven. I just feel that even as there's an identity that's been, I guess, lacquered, that's been reinstilled, that's been confirmed upon you, I think that there's something more coming right now. And I feel that, you know, if there's a missing piece in your heart, or that you're just like, you know what, I feel that I'm close, but I don't have it all. I feel that God wants to just fill that up right now. Just like that missing piece, whatever it is. So, I mean, if you feel that, I mean, obviously, God has something to give to everyone, but if you feel that you want it, I just invite you to put out your hands right now. I just see God reaching into heaven, into the depths of heaven, and he's pulling out something. He's pulling out something that's yours. And I feel that this is something that he's spoken to you perhaps a few times, but he spoke it at the beginning of creation, saying this is part of you, and I want you to have it because it's who you are. And I just see him placing it on your hand. So God, right now, this identity, this calling that you have on our lives, we don't want to just hold on to it. We want to place it within our hearts, place it within our spirits. So I just invite you just to take that just as a prophetic symbol even, and just like place it in your heart, you know? God, right now I just receive everything that you have for me, the identity that you have for me, the calling that you have for me. God, I know that you have good and perfect gifts, and that you just want to keep giving that and giving that. I just see him breathing his breath of life on you guys right now. Breathing his breath of life. God, we just thank you for your continual love that just pours itself onto us. We thank you that you're stretching us, that our foundation is becoming bigger. But God, most of all, we just embrace your love right now, because that's what your kingdom is. Your kingdom is love. And so we just breathe in your love. Is that okay? Can we take a breath of God's love in? God, that you would just quicken our minds every single minute, every single day, of what your love really is, of what your kingdom really is, and how that looks like in our lives right now. More love, Daddy. More love. More love.
It's interesting, because as Marcel's been speaking, just keep receiving. I felt like God was reminding me of this blog that I read on the New York Times about CEOs and professionals at a really high level, like a high level management level in some of the biggest corporations in North America. And they surveyed them, and they had a lot of things in common. One of them was how little extraneous stuff they had in their lives, how little like wasteful stuff they had in their lives, because they're like, I recognize that the goal before me, you know, bringing this organization from this point is like what I'm devoting my life to right now. And so I don't have time to waste on a lot of like silly things. And as Marcel was speaking, one of the things I felt like God was saying was that part of this whole process is God actually just taking away from us stuff we don't need, you know, getting rid of just some of the junk that just occupies our life. And at the place we are right now, we're like, well, that's fine that this thing is in my life, or these patterns or these habits or whatever, like not necessarily even sin, quotation marks, but just things that are not maybe beneficial. And that someday when you are where you're going to be, you know, you will not be able to have these things in your life at that point. And so it's interesting that you just came back to love at the end, because I felt like part of what God is saying is that he's inoculating us and filling us with his love so that he can remove that junk. He can get rid of that junk. He can take that stuff away, and really we won't even miss it. And I feel like part of this is like, you know, even as I'm speaking, some of you guys are like, oh, I understand. Maybe God is saying like, I need to cut that television show out, or I just need to not really devote that much time to that destructive friendship. And I just need to, you know, I need to devote more time to this or to that. So in fact, maybe it would be good for us just to kind of end tonight by just taking a moment and asking the Lord, Father, like, in your love, would you show me like how I can take another step forward into becoming, you know, the son, the daughter that you called me to be, confident, full of your love, not held down by baggage and stuff that's worthless and is just destructive, you know, long term, you know? So let's just close our eyes for a second. And Lord, we give you permission tonight. Actually, in fact, we ask you, come on, let's ask him, God, we ask you, would you come and would you speak into our lives, God, about some of this stuff that just takes up space? And if it's taking up space, then new things can't come in there. And it's almost like the Jolly Rancher versus taffy. You know, taffy's malleable, and God's saying, like, I want to make you nice and malleable and movable and soft and flexible. And God, anything that makes me hard and rigid, that's not of you, God, I give you permission to come and work on those areas. So let's just take a moment and ask him, God, where am I like those hard candy? Where am I like a hard candy? And you need to make me a little bit softer tonight. Just take a second and ask him. Just in this, and just in the holiness of this moment, God, we ask you, start to show us some of those areas, and just ask him for like one or two things. Let's just ask him for one or two things, and I'll just give it about 10 seconds, and then we'll just take another step together. Thank you, Papa. It's good. We don't want to be held back. And for some of you, it might be things that you're like, well, I kind of like that. And God's like, yeah, but I have so much better for you. If you only knew how much better I had. Peter Jackson tells this great story about a little girl whose dad gave her one of those candy necklaces. Some of you are like, I'm going to sit down because Andrew's telling me a story. This is going to be long. I know, Andrew. You can sit down. Fine. I'm sorry, Marcel. Listen, Peter Jackson, then I'll shut up. Peter Jackson tells this really good story about a dad who gave his girl one of those candy necklaces. You know those ones that as kids you eat, they're like terrible for you. They're mostly just like plastic, you know. They're really, really bad. But anyway, the dad came home one day and gave it to his daughter and said, here you go, honey. And she was ecstatic about this little necklace. But she did something really weird. She didn't eat it. She did not eat it because she thought it was so precious that dad had given it to her. So she wore it and she wore it and she wore it and she wore it. And about 3 weeks later, it was like brown. Because she wore it when she played. Her mom had this like procedure to take it off when it was time for her bath and like put it where she could see it beside the bathtub. And then as soon as the bath was over, she put it back on. She slept with it. Yeah, you know. And so, like, at the end of about 3 weeks, it got to the point where it was, like, getting around. So dad comes home one day, and dad says, I want you to give me the necklace. And she's like, no, I love the necklace. And they got in this, like, little battle, right? She was, like, crying. I don't want to give you the necklace. I love the necklace. It's my special necklace. And dad said, just give me the necklace. Trust me. Give me the necklace. And so she ends up finally taking it off and lots of tears and gives it to dad, right, this precious necklace. And dad gives her a gold one. Dad's like, I wanted to give you this nice one, this gold one, this beautiful gold necklace that she could then wear, right? And Peter Jackson said, and it so hit me, he's like, so many times God is saying to us, are you willing to give up that thing that's like, it's like an image of what is better to come, you know? And we cling to these little things, and we're like, oh, but God, I like this friendship, or God, I like these routines, or I like where I am, and I'm comfortable, and it's familiar, and it's special to me, maybe, this thing, right? And God's saying, if you knew how good what is to come is, you'd willingly give it up. But sometimes it's just trust, you know? And so some of these things that I feel like God has been saying to us as we've been sitting here tonight, like, they may seem small, they may be big, and yet, like, in the kingdom of God, whenever we exchange something, we always get better. Whenever we lay our lives down, we always get life, right? And so what I'd like us to do is actually to get in a group of three people of the same sex, so guys and girls together, and just take a second, and I want you just to share for the purposes of actually just speaking it out. You can pray with each other if you'd like. You know, don't feel like you have to if you don't feel comfortable with that. And I'd like you just to share, like, hey, God's saying I need to stop watching Family Guy. You know, and tell the person, people around you, and they can be like, okay, cool. Well, I pray that God gives you grace to do that. Cool? Ruth wants to say something.
One time when God was asking me to give something up and I didn't want to, eventually, finally, what he did was... Sorry. People are like, Where is she? Basically, what happened was he goes, Ruth, if you don't give it to me, like when you give me these three little things, then I've got space for this one big awesome thing that I want to give you, you know? So when I gave him these three like crappy little things that seemed really big at the time, he gave me something so much better, and it was awesome. So, yeah.
Okay, so get in a group of three. Look around. Let's make sure no one gets left out. Stand up. Stand up. Make sure no one gets left out. So guys with guys, girls with girls. And let's just take a sec, just like really quickly, just for like a minute or two. No weeping or gnashing of teeth. Just make sure no one's left out. And just share for the purposes of just some accountability. And then we will be going to the Frog and the Firkin tonight. And apparently all of the tips that are made at Frog and Firkin tonight are going to Children's Help Phone, which is really cool, which is another reason to get wings. So bless you guys. Thank you. And we're going up.
No, it's okay.
Like, I was like, no, but I want that. Because you were hitting on it, like, the whole time, right? Anyway, that was a good word.